text for our sermon this morning is from the gospel reading just read, and in particular, the beginning. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how." God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we all have a pretty good idea about how to make money work for you. We've also, this last year, become somewhat aware of these mysterious new currencies such as Bitcoin and all the other new types of electronic money. One thing is for sure, and is true across all these different currencies, is that if you want your money to produce more money, well, you can't just let it sit there. Even with savings accounts, bonds, traditional stock markets, things don't grow without work. Well, usually. There are a few exceptions. There are people who've made stock purchases and their return came back 5 and 10-fold and they didn't even know it. They looked at their account one day and said, "Wow." If you paid attention to the news this last year, you remember the story of the GameStop shares, how a seemingly worthless stock was inflated to astronomical levels. It was supposedly the American dream come true. Large return with little to no investment. No risk. But if you think about it, once you make that money, well, then the work begins. Monitoring its progress, making a transfer here, making a transfer there, what's taxable, what's not taxable, and then spending it. So even if some of these folks made a lot of money on stock predictions or just dumb luck, we would call it the will of God, your money and investments require work. Work to plan, work to maintain on the front end, or work on the back end. How to spend. You don't want to be a poor steward. That's how it is with the things of this world. You get out what you put in. Or as the highly successful and rather rich philosopher, notorious B.I.G. says in his rap song, which ironically made him millions of dollars, "Mo' money, mo' problems." We want easy. We want high return with little risk. We want to work as little as possible and make as much as possible. And then we don't want to get ripped off. You also don't want to miss a chance to make it big. As they say, money doesn't grow on trees. Well, where does this desire to get more, or even the idea of getting something for nothing, where does this constant drive and desire come from? Well, I don't think I'm too off course when I say that this hunger for great return with little work is, at its most fundamental level, a yearning for us to be our own gods, to have control, to create something out of nothing. And I think I came to that conclusion because of today's parable. There is only one thing that has power in and of itself, power to grow, power to be strong. There is only one thing that returns an amount of riches and glory that far surpasses any work that we can put into it. That, of course, is the very gospel itself. The forgiveness of sins, the very Word of God. Because today, Jesus teaches us the Word of God has its own power. St. Paul writes, "The gospel is the power of God unto salvation." And that's the point of Jesus' parable today. Like the kingdom of God is not like anything in this world. And he uses seeds and gardening to teach us this, that the power that the seed has is self-contained. There's nothing outside of the seed that gives it its life, its power. And we know that the seed is the Word of God. It grows. It is life. It has the power of life in it. But that's where the comparison ends. Jesus uses the power of the seeds being self-contained as the point of comparison. This all sounds well and good. We love this. We like it. The Word of God is our treasure. It is the greatest thing we can ever possess in this world. It is our Lord's heritage. But there's something about today's parable that just doesn't jive with what we see day to day. What do you mean, Jesus, that the kingdom of God is like a man who scatters seeds, goes to sleep, rises, and, well, doesn't know how it sprouts? Thank you, Jesus, very much, but we know how seeds sprout. What do you mean, Jesus, the kingdom of God is like a man who doesn't even know the basic fundamentals of farming? A man who doesn't vet his personal financial planner? A man who just randomly selects stocks, real estate purchases, and hopes for the best without any work? Jesus, that's foolishness. We find this parable today in Mark. And it's surrounded by other parables of seeds and growing and farmers. There's the parable of the sower who scatters seeds carelessly among the many different soils. There's one theme among these parables. It's that this farmer doesn't work like we would assume. This farmer is almost foolish. You don't scatter seeds where you don't have good ground. You don't blindly invest money. But this is why Jesus is preaching to us. To teach us about the power of His Word, how it will go out and do what He sends it out to do. But Jesus, we know how plants sprout and grow. It takes work, like investing. But we like to get our hands on God's Word and think we know how it should work. We know God's Word needs help. Who wouldn't think this as we stand around and look at the condition of Christianity in the United States? Even in our own denomination. Do you know that according to the professionals, church gurus and the like, that just the LCMS is forecasted to lose 500,000 members in the next generation? Or if you were to guess, and perhaps even using your own family or friends as an example, how many children in the last 20 years confirmed in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod are still attending church? Only 1 in 3. 1/3. Other denominations don't even fare that well. Sounds like we have a problem. Sounds like maybe we have a foolish farmer. Maybe we should adopt the ways of the world. Maybe we should market the world, the Word of God like a product. Dress it up. Make it shine. Don't talk about the difficult parts. Especially don't talk about sin. If you want your product to sell, in addition, your spokesperson should be good-looking, funny, even well-liked. You know, the customer is always right. Perhaps you know it's coming. Perhaps your pastor should drive a Porsche. Or two. He, indeed, surgery can do miracles. He's not as young as he used to be. Maybe dye his hair, paint his teeth brilliant white. Jesus tells us a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The parable teaches us that the Word of God brings faith, and we really don't know how it can do such great things because our sinful flesh and our human fallen logic to us, the Word of God doesn't seem all that impressive. We doubt its power. Some people who we wouldn't even expect to receive the gospel, they do, and we're surprised. Just last month, the secretary of the National Atheist Society in Kenya, he had to resign his position because he confessed Jesus as the Son of God. The third in command of the Atheist Society in Kenya. It's amazing. The Word of God has power. But then, on the other side, there are others that we would expect to believe but they refuse. That's what's puzzling in an area as affluent as where we live. We have everything. We've been so blessed by God, but we are no more immune to the temptations of the flesh than anyone else. Perhaps even more so because, well, we're comfortable. Or perhaps we should use reverse psychology if we want to help this seed grow. Let's just pay attention to God's word and go to church when it's convenient. You know, let's not hear it so much so we keep it and make it more special. Well, do you ever do that with food and water? Wouldn't you want food? Or you don't want food and water to not be special anymore, do you? So maybe try avoiding it for a little bit. I've heard this argument for communion. We don't want to do it as much because we want to make it special. This is foolishness. It is the temptation of the devil that we can somehow make the gospel more effective by ignoring it. No, the very power is in the word and sacrament. This is exactly what the devil doesn't want you to think. The devil wants you to avoid that which is the very gift of God. Change this, update that. Your church is shrinking because of closed communion. Your church is dying because you don't ordain women. Your church is dying because you make people study their catechism. You tell them to come to church every Sunday. You are the problem. Get with the program. And so the song and dance goes. This way, that way. It's obvious to anyone who takes a look at the numbers of the Christian church in the United States that we could sure use a top-performing, business-minded person to help us out. Except that the business world would call us to forsake that which we've believed in the Scriptures. It may appear to us that the church's days are numbered, that we've got an uphill climb to make. But that's not true. Just because in our own lives we begin to doubt, that doesn't mean the seed has lost its power. Friends, we are not on the losing side of history, nor the losing side of the future. Indeed, the parable speaks of a harvest at the end, but remember that Jesus has defeated death. What more do we have to fear? It may look as if we're in a losing battle, but what do we have? We have the very Word of God. You have the seed. We have that which will grow without our great ideas. We've been given the Word of God that is more powerful than the dead dirt you see all around you. The dirt that will eventually cover your casket when you die. The dirt all around us we see maybe trying to cover the church, and we panic. Maybe even in your own life, your own sins, your own neglecting of the Word of God, your own chasing after the pleasures of this world, the amount of time you put into your investments compared to the amount of time you put into God's Word. Maybe all of this has you even doubting the Word of God. But did you hear the parable? Did you pay attention to it? When everything looks as if it's dead, when the seed is buried, no matter how deep it's covered, no matter how dark things look to our own eyes, listen to Jesus' words. It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. My dear friends, only don't neglect the seed. Don't pull the seed out of the soil. Don't close your ears to God's word. Don't keep the seed from your children. Don't let the dirt remain lifeless. We've all done our fair share of neglecting the seed of God's word, We've all perhaps been tempted to think church is maybe a waste of time. Maybe we've lost friends or popularity because of our faithfulness to God's word. Perhaps you were tempted by the greener pastures of this world. We've all done a fine job every once in a while of trying to bury the seed even as it sprouts. Maybe you've even doubted God's promise to take care of you, or even to take care of your loved ones if you should die. We've looked and we've seen decay all around us. We've done the opposite of what St. Paul tells us to do today. We've walked by sight and not by faith. But Peter says this: you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, all its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that is preached to you. Isaiah, even in the Old Testament, he writes, "For as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower, bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I've sent it." So turn from unbelief and repent. Live by faith in Jesus. Your sins are all forgiven. Your sins of doubt, your sins of anguish, sins where we think life is found in money and possessions, or the church is falling apart, or that the seed of God's word is powerless. Because look at Jesus himself. He was buried. He was crucified. He was dead. He was considered the least, the smallest. He was as good as dead, cast away from God's sight, and upon him were all our sins placed. He is that which was planted in the ground, and from his resurrection there is life, even for you. In his tree we rest. We remember we were buried with him in baptism, planted, but also raised with him by those baptismal waters. So the parable today isn't about finding the right solution to stop or change the direction of the church according to worldly practices. That's up to God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, "Neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth." The parable is about the power and the word of God for his people to find rest in. The parable is about the seemingly small and insignificant ways that God brings life to us. What a joy to be in this tree, to be given the seed of hope and assurance. James 1:18 says, "Of his own will, God brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Christ our Lord invites you to come alongside him. He planted the seeds of his work, and you, not being anxious about performance, but trusting in forgiveness. You cannot lose. Jesus has already won. Plus, he said, the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. The life of the church, your life as well, the life of Christ Jesus sprouts and grows in you. And even though you die buried by dirt, yet shall you live. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.